Our final presenter is Julie Self. Julie is a PhD candidate in nutrition and health sciences at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. Her primary interests are community-based food access research and programming and food policy. And she's here today to describe how sustainability informed the development of a public health course on food systems and food policy.
Thank you all. Like she said, I'm Julie Self, and I have no relationships to disclose, nor do my co-authors. Just to give you an overview, I will be talking about the course development of a course at Emory. The activities, our partners, factors for success and some constraints, as well as future directions for the course. So the idea for this course actually developed in the fall of 2010, a little over a year ago, when several students from a few graduate schools at Emory, as well as some faculty members, came together to discuss what we saw as an important gap in public health and nutrition curriculum. In public health practice, food-related problems are a major focus of education and research, including overweight, obesity, micronutrient deficiencies, other chronic diseases, pesticide exposure, food deserts, diet-related cancers. I mean, the list goes on and on. Antibiotic resistance, a lot of things. However, at the university level, coursework in this area tends to focus more narrowly, for example, on micronutrient deficiencies and addressing vitamin A or nutritional assessment, chronic disease, and things like that. So while many faculty members seem to acknowledge in their classes that the policy and systemic food problems are major contributors to negative nutrition and health outcomes, there's not really an opportunity to explore these issues in depth in the curriculum. And so also food is a popular topic, and it's obviously an integral part of nutrition and health relationship, but it's often just missing from the academic conversation. The relationship between food, nutrition, and health often seems very simple and straightforward. Obviously, you need to eat good food and have good nutrition to have good health, but it's actually a rather complex issue and one that we thought we wanted to study more in depth. So that fall, 8 students identified a faculty advisor to lead a directed study on food. The following spring, there was myself and 7 public health students, all in global health, some in public health nutrition and some in community health. So we worked in the fall to identify, like I said, the faculty advisor, as well as developing kind of through an iterative process the course objectives, the topics of discussion, the assignments, and speakers and funding for some course activities. So there were several key ideas and relationships that the students wanted to explore, and these guided our course development. Specifically, we wanted to understand how policies and food systems affected diet behaviors and health outcomes. We also wanted to explore the important issues of justice and sustainability as they relate to food and health. And probably most importantly, we wanted to understand better the complex relationships that are involved in all of these issues that make food such a complex issue to study sometimes. In developing the course, the Emory Sustainability Vision definitely guided our planning. Emory aims to be an educational model for healthy living. That's part of the university's vision. And they want their education and research efforts to foster sustainability in all aspects of life. So in this way, the university's commitment to sustainability really demonstrated institutional support for us to critically consider how this fits into food systems, food policy, and health. In addition to the topics that we wanted to cover in the course, we also had some process-related goals. We wanted to ensure that students would gain practical experience applying methods learned in their other classes and other themes and concepts presented in this course. So community-engaged research and service were seen as underlying motivators for course activities because we wanted our efforts to really reflect the needs and goals of the Atlanta community, even while we were talking about very big picture policy issues. So we wanted to kind of see how those really complex policy and systems issues affected our local community and kind of bring it home. To achieve these goals, we had several key activities. First of all, students worked in groups to develop the learning modules. So in addition to the idea that was to generate this course, the students actually came together to identify the learning modules that we would use in the classroom instruction. So we focused on the biological and social determinants of food intake, and then food systems and food policy. We also wrote brief reflections throughout the course on different topics that we were learning about. A large portion of the course, though, was dedicated to our community-based research on food systems in Metro Atlanta. And this culminated in a community-wide symposium where we presented and discussed our research findings with over 70 stakeholders, I guess you could say. And I'll talk more about that in just a minute. So just to go a little bit more into the learning modules, we divided the class time into four modules. We talked about kind of decision-making and marketing and how things influence individual dietary behaviors. We talked about food systems and agricultural systems, justice and sustainability, and policy. We divided into groups, and each group worked on different modules. So there was a little bit of overlap between topics because they were very much student-directed and we tried to communicate, but I'll talk more about that and how we're going to change that in the future. And then during the development of each module, which actually started in the preceding semester, we determined the specific topics for each class period that would be a part of that module. We organized guest speakers or developed other kind of course content as was appropriate, and we chose the readings, facilitated discussion, and things like that. And so we did have, like I said, we had some overlap, but then that also kind of reinforced the integrated nature of the topics. We were really looking at the relationship. So we might go back to some topics in multiple different parts of the course, but that really did, it was also an opportunity to reinforce some of the interconnectedness of the topics that we were discussing. So now the community engaged projects on the Metro Atlanta food systems. These were the foundation of the course and were developed in collaboration with several university and community partners. The Office of University and Community Partnerships was really a big part of what we were doing. The purpose of the OUCP is to connect and support partnerships between Emory and the community, which is promoted through engaged learning, research, and community work. And so their mission fit very nicely with some of our goals to conduct meaningful community-engaged research. And they offered advice and support, including some financial support and my attendance here to talk about this. And for some of our class activities and guided us as we developed the course. And they also helped us build or strengthen relationships with some of our community partners. So just to give you an overview, we did have many community partners in this. We started working early on with George Organics and the Atlanta Local Food Initiative to identify local projects that would be useful and fit well into our course objectives. Myself and some of the other students had been involved with these organizations over the years and had some relationships there, but the class projects really represented a major step forward, we thought, in kind of formalizing our collaboration and integrating it into the academic learning instead of it being kind of a side interest that many people had. So we also worked with people from the Centers for Disease Control. They advised us on aspects of course development, helped us identify some key issues to hone in on, and served as guest speakers on several topics. The DeKalb County Board of Health was also a key partner. They've been working on health, food access, and urban agriculture issues in the local community. DeKalb County is the county where Emory University is based. And they're very active in some of these areas. So that was a nice partnership. We also worked with the Atlanta Community Food Bank, which was a great resource on several topics relating to food access, and they gave us a tour of their facility. And then finally, we partnered with Fox Environmental, who was working with the DeKalb County Board of Health to map local food resources. And with Fox Environmental, we exchanged resources, information, and findings from some of the research we did, as well as prior research that they had done, to produce a comprehensive food system GIS map that better identified some of the greatest areas of need in the community. So you may wonder what exactly those community partnerships entailed. In collaboration with the community partners we identified, and just the student interest, we identified four different food systems to further understand how they operate in our local community. Farm to restaurant, conventional retail, farmers markets and CSAs, and community gardens. And so we divided into groups to address these four topics. We sought to identify where these systems were functioning in the county, understand how the system operated and reached the community to create food access, and also explore some of the barriers that might affect sustainability or accessibility of the food system, especially as they relate to some of the low-income communities in our area, and kind of successful strategies and motivating factors for people acting as providers in that type of system, as well as maybe some ideas about consumers. Each project was implemented throughout the semester in groups, and the exact research questions and methods were adapted as needed to address the overarching course needs, but also be tailored to that project. So each group identified their own methodology. And so at the end of the semester, the class presented the results of each project at a local food system symposium. And as I said, this was hosted at Emory in May, and it was attended by more than 70 people. That included students and faculty from many different disciplines at Emory, as well as some from other universities, University of Georgia and Georgia State, and local, state, and national health agencies, so the local Board of Health, State Department of Health, and the Centers for Disease Control. A lot of community agencies that are active in some of this work and some of our partners, of course. And also public officials came to kind of understand more about the issue, and that was really exciting for us. So after brief presentations, we conducted breakout sessions for further dialogue among the attendees on each of the topics. So we also prepared written reports at the end that integrated some of the feedback that we received with our findings. And those have been adapted together into a white paper by the DeKalb County Board of Health, and that's being used to guide some of their efforts to affect access, develop programs, and influence policy as it relates to food access and urban agriculture in the area. And then areas of additional research and action have certainly been identified to guide some future efforts, and talk a little bit about that, some of our future ideas in just a minute. So some of the factors for success. We think it was a huge success that this was so student-driven, from the original idea coming together as well as, you know, just all throughout the course it was student-driven, identifying the topics and how we would bring those to the community and work with the community, and then presenting the information, conducting the research. So that really addressed the needs of students and was a very relevant topic. So that was also helpful because students tended to be very committed and we worked very hard. Everyone in the class worked very hard to make it successful. So it was also consistent with the university's principles for sustainability and student engagement. So overall, the university environment was pretty supportive. That included really all levels from the school, higher administration, the Office of University and Community Partnerships, as well as the department chairs and other faculty members who were quite supportive of our efforts. So I think another thing that was really important to me is that our community partners really recognized the potential benefits to their organization and saw what we were doing as forming a true partnership instead of just plugging some students in to have a short, brief experience. It really became a partnership where we were working on past relationships, developing those, making it useful both to them, the students, and kind of an Emory community collaboration overall, as well as looking for future ways to just continue that relationship and develop it even further. And also just the students' collaboration among themselves, working as a group and you know, respecting each person's perspectives and ideas and goals, mm-hmm. as well as with the faculty advisor. So it was a really nice working relationship kind of with all capacities or all components. And then also it was a great opportunity, of course, for students to utilize skills that they had gained in other courses to get very practical training. However, there certainly were some constraints. First was the time commitment. It did take a lot of time for both faculty and students. The, like I said, the development was very student-led, but there was a lot of time burden on the faculty member managing us, managing logistics, and getting the course recognized and all that. So it certainly was a big time commitment. And part of the reason for for our success is that much of the planning took place before the semester began. And I know that can be really difficult for other courses. The students who took the class actually started working on this all throughout the semester before. So that's pretty unique and not necessarily replicable. So we're definitely recognizing that as a constraint. But we do feel like it was important for developing our meaningful partnerships and the community-based nature. So the time commitment during the semester was also very substantial for what we offered as a 2-credit-hour course. Also, as I mentioned before, the course topics tended to overlap. So in spite of our efforts to communicate between different groups that were focusing on the development of certain modules, we did have some overlap, and like I said, that can be seen as a strength or a weakness. We really reinforced the interconnected nature of a lot of the topics that we were studying, the policy, the systems, the food culture and justice aspects. But it did seem like there was some inefficiency there as well. So also the timing of when the course is offered is something that we continue to debate. Should it be in the fall or the spring? Should we target second year for the MPH students? Should we target second year students or first year students? Second year students have more skill-based courses, and that was really useful in some of the semi-qualitative or, you know, our mixed methods, I guess, research. That was useful, but then we also think it would be useful to target first-year students as they are developing ideas for practicum opportunities or kind of extended opportunities for partnership as they continue their careers. And then one other constraint was just the limits that need to be imposed maybe from the outside. The students were so very engaged that we tended to assign each other a lot of readings. You know, for our modules, we tended to have, like, a lot of readings that everybody else needed to make that wasn't very realistic. So we were very ambitious and then ended up creating a lot of work for ourselves. And so just to summarize with some of our future directions, we'll be offering the course as a directed study in the spring of 2012, so next semester. We'll have a little bit more of an emphasis on food security and some of the methodologies and measurement of food security. And it'll also be a 2-credit-hour course. In the future, we plan to offer it as a full 3-credit-hour course. And again, we're kind of going back and forth and whether that's going to be in the fall of 2012 or spring of 2013 and playing with that a little bit still. We'll definitely have continued collaboration with our community partners developing on some of the themes that we addressed last year and continuing some of those in kind of new projects, but very consistent development of those topics. We will target more first-year students this year to develop projects that they can continue to work on while they're at Emory. And we also really want to share our resources that we develop, the syllabus and other resources, and possibly post materials online or other ways so that the efforts that we put into developing the course can be a resource for others. So I think that is... Oh, yes, and the acknowledgments, definitely would like to recognize the Office of University and Community Partnerships and their source of funding, which is the Coca-Cola Foundation, which I didn't realize until they told me what to put in the slide, which is interesting, and our community partners, and Dr. Amy Webb-Gerard, who is our faculty advisor, and the course participants, one of whom is here today. Janelle was involved in the course as well, so thanks.
Thank you to all of our presenters. We're going to leave this up here because that will continue the recording for this session. So we'll leave Julie's slide up here. We'd like to open it now for questions regarding any of the presentations. We've heard some wonderful presentations of lessons learned from service activities, practice activities related to academia. Are there any questions? Yes. This is the app for academic credit, and I believe it was for the first presenter.
I don't think so. It's considered a requirement of the degree much in the same way that, like, our doctoral students are required to TA one of the basic EPI courses. It's a requirement. They don't get any credit for it. I don't know how... I think other departments at UNC, I mean, I know in maternal child health, they have a 240-hour practicum, and I believe they do get credit for that. But... for 40
I did have a question related to that, because I'm sure there are others with programs in epidemiology who are trying to shift it from a research focus to more of the practice. How did the faculty perceive this, and what were some of the challenges there?
We still have a lot of issues, myself and the coordinator of the program, because faculty, we're now doing an education session for faculty every fall, because the faculty were signing off on these practicums that were on the list of do not use.
Yes.
because, you know, to them it's like, well, the student wrote it up as a practicum, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
So we continue to have some trouble, though that's getting better, with them approving things that aren't qualified to be a practicum. And it is a bit of a tension, because our department is heavily focused on methods and research, and so there are only a few faculty who do applied work. So there will continue to be a large share of practica going through a small number of faculty.
Of the preceptors,
right,
such
right.
as yourself.
But I have one colleague who thinks that this is a great boondoggle for me, because I can get free labor to do my research. So
there's a
flip side to it.
The others may see the advantage of that and come on board. Thank you. Are there any other questions for any of the presenters regarding service learning? Yes.
I don't know what to necessarily question, but I'm struck by this, just like CBPR, it's very time consuming.
Yeah.
So, and for those of us who want to continue trying to implement these kinds of models where students really try to integrate that service learning and applied experience in coursework, if you have any other lessons or advice for us, that might be of some help.
Yeah, many of the projects were very time-consuming. any of the presenters? Fred?
Well, I'm not a faculty member, so I don't have as much experience with that, but I think that there's a lot of benefit to the practice-oriented work, because, I mean, the MPH degree is a practice-based degree, and a lot of the faculty tends to be very research-oriented, so I think that that is something that students, it is time consuming and maybe undervalued in some ways, but with the people that I did my MPH with who are now in the field, and other people that I interact with, current MPH students where I'm involved with what they're doing, that seems to be one of the most useful things that they do. And I think a lot of students tend to recognize the value in that. They, even while they're in school, it's not just later they realize how useful it was. I think a lot of students that I talk to, at least, tend to recognize that value.
And the other thing for faculty is when it comes to promotional tenure, don't just say that, okay, I'm doing community service or I'm just doing service learning, but try to develop a creative way saying that I'm integrating my instruction, my research and service all together as an engaged scholarship, and it is really the trend, you know, to develop more faculty engaged scholarship type of recognition and activity. And you'll be in a good position to be, you know, in the pioneer of this movement while, you know, encourage others to and just keep on reminding yourself each day why, even though we have all kinds of obligations, but what's your real motivation of continuing doing this type of instruction approach or getting students involved? Because really it's truly rewarding to see how appreciated and how much students learn from using this type of approach, even though, you know, so I guess that's what I tell myself every day, and then just try to ignore, you know, some of the a little bit more negative comments, but, you know, just try to remind myself and, you know, what's the real motivation and the real good things.
I think also sometimes less is more, so, you know, focus on projects that are focused and not so ambitious, and something that can be managed within a semester. I think also the point that was made for individual faculty members, if you can align the projects with your research interests and your service area and your expertise and the course that you're teaching, I think it's a win-win, and it's be part of your scholarly record for T&P and other rewards mechanisms that may be in place for your institution. But and another thing is IRB. Develop a very close relationship with your IRB. The University of Florida IRB is really conservative, and anytime you collect data, regardless of the purpose, even for a classroom experience, a service learning experience, IRB has to be, the protocol has to be approved. And so for one thing, we don't develop any projects that involve adolescents, because that's even more problematic for our IRBs.
They give you like an expedited review for the course?
No, there's no it goes through regular review. And so with IRB, it goes through full review. If it involves collecting data from adolescents.
But for the purposes of a 14-15-week semester, that could be, deal breaker.
Yeah, it can be, absolutely. Yeah, so, we had, again, I think it was on all of us, most of these things in the fall is easy to do because, beginning of August, I can start preparing for the course. It's a little bit more difficult for spring semester. Because you have all the activities going on during the fall semester, and a lot of times it comes out of my hide to try to get some of this stuff up and running, some of the paperwork and logistics in place to execute a project for the spring semester.
Yeah. And one rewarding thing I have encountered is that students sometimes actually identify potential community partners to be part of the class project, and then that partner becomes our regular partners, for the future classes, and that sort of help the class moving and getting different level of energy. And at the University of Georgia, we do have course IRB process, which is an expedite process. However, there's disclaimer for a course IRB, that means you cannot do anything related to minors, and all the data collected cannot be published and things like that. But a student will be able to collect data and go through the
Well, we've reached the end of our time allotment, but please feel free to discuss one-on-one with the presenters. Thank you very much.